Walmart wants to buy a health insurance company. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. Reports are out this morning that Walmart wants to buy health insurer Humana and is in early talks to make that happen. This would be a very large deal if a partnership or a full merger goes through, but it may seem like an odd couple on the face of it. Walmart is the place that sells everything from guns to pineapples. It wants to buy a health insurance company. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
The deal would be Walmart's biggest acquisition by a long shot, with Humana's market value sitting at $37 billion. It would instantly make Walmart one of the nation's largest insurers. Walmart already has pharmacies in most of its stores and even sells insurance in some of them, so this would make the retail giant even more of a one-stop shop. And there's Amazon, which is reportedly also looking into the healthcare space, so Walmart wants to stay ahead of the competition. For Humana, it's a way to compete in a sector that's rife with mergers right now. The goal is to have control over more aspects of a person's healthcare needs. Humana already has a deal in place with Walmart through discounted prescription cards, and Walmart has a lot of space. There are more than 6,300 Walmart stores in the U.S. alone, so Humana could potentially use the partnership to set up and operate clinics that would cut costs even deeper.
Marketplace's Andy Euler, thank you. U.S. markets are closed today for Good Friday, but Japan's Nikkei closed up 1.4%, and the Hang Seng closed up 0.25%. Robert Shiller is a Nobel Prize-winning economist at Yale University. After President Trump announced $60 billion worth of penalties on China last week, Shiller had some words of warning over how the president is conducting U.S. trade policy. Tensions between the U.S. and China could, Shiller says, slow economic growth or, in a worst-case scenario, spark an economic crisis. In the past few days, there appears to have been a de-escalation of U.S.-China trade tensions. So we caught up with Professor Shiller to ask him if he's still worried about a trade war.
We haven't had a catastrophic trade war in a long time, maybe since the Great Depression. Maybe it won't happen. I'd like to be optimistic. But it could. What it could do is disrupt the world's economy in a significant amount.
And do you see that as occurring just because of interactions between the U.S. and China, or do you see it spilling over into relations with other countries?
Well, originally, Trump's trade talk was global. Now he's talking about China. I think that it sets up an atmosphere of worry. And that's not generally good for business because it invites people to think that they would postpone hiring, postpone launching a new product line, and so on. Wait and see is not the attitude we want.
Part of the administration's announcement last week included a commitment to pursue U.S. complaints against China within the WTO. Does that reassure you that they're going through those channels?
Well, that was the idea. Now, the WTO is an outgrowth of the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade that began in 1948, after World War II. It was created in recognition of the nationalist impulses that led to that war, and it led to a kind of community of understanding. So I'm very happy to see that some reference is to resolve these differences within a framework that was created that, well, initially begun then. It's a question of getting outside help to resolve disputes rather than starting a war.
Robert Shiller, professor of economics at Yale University, thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
China blocks a lot of foreign websites, and there's a word for it. It's called the Great Firewall. To do business, American companies have used tools and certain tools to get around that wall. Starting tomorrow, though, the Chinese government is going to make that harder and costlier to do. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak joins me from Shanghai. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Sabri.
Jennifer, can you remind us just how difficult it is to access the internet as we know it in China?
Well, if you're trying to access Facebook, Twitter, New York Times, or anything Google, none of that will work here. There's also an evolving list of banned search terms. But if you're only accessing sites and apps based in China, then going online is fast.
So how do foreign businesses that might need to access the outside internet cope with the fact that so many things are blocked.
So businesses use something called a virtual private network, or a VPN, and this masks your computer address and encrypts information. There are consumer VPNs, but it's sort of a cat-and-mouse game. The sensors shut down servers, new ones crop up. So a more stable option is for businesses with headquarters abroad to connect directly through what's called a site-to-site VPN. Now, this is what the government in China is trying to stop. Carly Ramsey is with the consultancy group Control Risk.
I think this was kind of like a wake-up call to a lot of multinationals about the broader regulatory changes that are happening around the cybersecurity law.
So businesses are asking what's going to be restricted next.
So I've always thought of a VPN as sort of like a secret tunnel out through the firewall, out to the internet. Why is China trying to shut these tunnels down?
Basically, what's happening on the VPN is something that the government cannot see. So they want to see it. And what they're suggesting is that if you want to access the internet outside, you should use their dedicated lines. But there are two issues with this. How safe is it? And it's also an expensive option. Now, I spoke to an entrepreneur who sells coffee accessories from China to American customers on Amazon. And here's how Michael Michelini is preparing.
I'm on Shenzhen, which is a border city with Hong Kong, which is not, there's no filtering in Hong Kong. I think that is always a backup for me.
And so that means he's willing to commute to a new city just to access the internet. So firms here are spending more time and money to access something that companies in the U.S. take for granted every day, which is to go online to conduct business.
Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pack in Shanghai, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.